And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all don't talk about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in, just for good measure. Hey, listen, I'm going to jump on the phones right now. I said that the first part of the Triple Dipper is a series of phone calls of folks that, you know, I kept thinking, I want to know where this stands, and I just like to hear it from the horse's mouth. Well, one of those horses is on the phone right now. State Senator Chris Elliott, who hails from Baldwin County, represents Alabama State Senate District 32. He has been a warrior against wokeness, and he's on the line right now. Senator Elliott, how you doing?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I know, by the way, this is an off week for the Senate, so I am taking up your time on time when you could have been doing something else. So thank you very much for making time for us.
You got it always, brother.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, there's been, and I don't know how this happens in deep red state, but I guess it's one of those clear indications we should take nothing for granted. But we've got a situation where in the last 12 months, we have discovered that our library boards are controversial, that even our state archives is now somewhat controversial. And now we find out that Space Camp is controversial. Give me your unvarnished thoughts up front, and let's talk about what can be done next.
Well, this is one of these things that you've got to keep a handle on and a watchful eye over. Look, liberals gravitate towards government. They just do. They always have. They like big government. They like more government. And so it shouldn't be a surprise to us conservatives that the folks that kind of infiltrate and are in government and the halls of government behind the scenes have a little bit more democratic leaning, and that, you know, when they present budget requests, it's always what? You saw it. It's more, right? It's very often is it less.
Right.
Because they like government. And so what you see is that ideology that liberals favor oftentimes finds its way into these executive director positions. And whether that's in a local library board or if that's an executive director of the Alabama Department of Archives and History or other places throughout our government. And it's something we've just got to be cognizant of and wary of and make sure that we have oversight boards that are accountable back to the legislators, to the executive branch, ultimately to the people, to make sure that we keep a check on what's happening in these institutions. And your Alabama legislature is absolutely doing that this session.
Well, and I appreciate that. And I want to get into your bill momentarily. But, you know, it's kind of interesting because the Archives Board had sort of a self-perpetuating board that kind of always renominated themselves to continue being in charge. But yet, at the same time, Space Camp has a commission that is appointed and even has members of the legislature on it, and the stuff still happened on their watch. So how can you amend that?
Well, you know, what you've got to do is you've got to have people at the top that explain to the folks that are doing the hiring, that explain to the folks that are doing the programming. Hey, we live in Alabama, okay? This isn't New York. This isn't California. This isn't Oregon. This is Alabama. And if you think for one second that you're going to get away with some of the programming that we've seen, some of the content we've seen, or some of the employees, you're just not. It's not going to work here in Alabama. And that message needs to come down from the top. And that's what we're trying to do here. And I know, by the way, if the top's not conveying that message, then the top needs to be changed out, right? If the board's not conveying that message to the executive director, if the executive director's not conveying that message down the chain, then there needs to be changes, and we need to make sure as legislators that functionality exists, and that's the purpose of my two bills.
All right, so you got two bills right now. Tell me what they are.
So we've got one that deals with the Alabama Department of Archives and History. As you correctly point out, that board is self-perpetuating currently. There's no accountability back to the people. What I'm trying to do is simply make sure that the board appointing authorities are not themselves. What a novel idea. But instead, other elected officials, the Speaker, the pro tem of the Senate, the governor, the lieutenant governor, so that they are appointing those board members, so that if there's something funky going on at Archives and History, there's somebody with some authority to jerk a knot at them and say, hey, we don't need to be doing this. Y'all need to get back on track. Same thing with libraries, different piece of legislation. When we started seeing all this library trouble, I started going, why are the city councils and the county commissions not immediately, you know, getting involved in this in their local community? And the statute, the way it's written, Phil, doesn't allow removal. It allows appointment, but it doesn't allow for removal of board members. And so that bill that has generated all of this controversy simply says that a city council or a mayor or a commissioner that appointed a library board member can also remove them if they want to. And that gets this whole conversation, in my opinion, down to the local level, granular, where it should be taking place.
Well, and I would agree with that. In fact, I would not have been aware. I mean, I spent my time down there in Montgomery, too, and I've never heard that there were not removal capacities written into some of these, because I can't tell you how many, you know, came up on during my watch where you'd go, oh, are we going to approve? And yes, we're going to confirm. And, oh, it's a local board and I get to say something. I had no idea that there might be some out there that had no removal possibility. But speaking of which, so Space Camp, I know it's come to your attention. It's come to everybody's attention. All God's children heard about Space Camp here in the last couple of weeks. But that one has gotten that one's gotten pretty ugly because it became more than just a book that somebody might or might not pick up. It became staff members literally walking into little girls' changing rooms and appearing to be tacitly approved to do so by the staff, and yet we have an appointed commission. What do you know about that? I know that Matt Butler is also amending his bill right now to address it.
Yeah, look, you know, when you deal with issues like this, there are HR policies that come into play. There are federal discrimination laws that come into play. And people have got to be very careful about how they act so that there aren't, you know, the inevitable lawsuits that come. But what I would say is HR managers, hiring authorities, need to look at who they're hiring and say, is this person going to be a problem? Okay. So, for instance, and is this person going to be a problem for me in Alabama? They need to make decisions that are smarter. For instance, if you had somebody that drove up and on the side of their minivan, it said, women shouldn't be allowed to vote. Do you think that person's going to cause a problem in your institution? Yeah, that person's going to cause a problem in your institution. Now, do they have every right in the world to say that? Yeah. They have every right in the world to say that, but maybe they shouldn't do that. If you have somebody that comes in and has overtly racist bumper stickers on their car, wears overtly racist T-shirts, is that person going to be a problem in your institution? Yeah, that person's going to be a problem in your institution, right? If you see those types of things occurring, be smart and understand these are problems. These are going to be problems. If you have somebody that comes in and is wearing, you know, and is transgender and spouting that ideology in front of children, that's going to be a problem. And maybe you need to look at somebody else and hire somebody else.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, the reality is, what I would imagine is what we're starting to learn at Space Camp is that apparently it wasn't a problem to management because they thought everything was okay with it and never thought once about informing parents about something that they, if they were being honest, they would say, well, we knew it was controversial, but we just chose not to say anything.
You're right. And that's where they need to, that was my quote the other day was, let the word go out far and wide that this is not something we're standing for in Alabama. And the hiring authorities need to be paying attention. The executive directors of these institutions need to be paying attention. It will be a problem. It's avoidable. Get ahead of it. Don't cause a problem in your own institution by hiring these types of folks that are going to cause you problems.
Yeah, and you had a great quote, by the way. I got to give props on this. I love the quote. I got it circled and highlighted on one of my notes here in a story on Yellowhammer yesterday. I think it came off your time with the YAFI program, but you said, stop trying to push your social agenda in education spaces. Get back on track or risk your funding and risk the organization to your board.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And some of these folks that are running these organizations need to understand that when they make bad hiring decisions, when they do things that they know are going to draw the ire of the legislature, that our remedies are fairly simple for getting their attention. It's cut their funding and it's redo how their board's constituted so that we can get more control of them, right? I don't want to be messing with Space Camp. I don't want to be messing with the Alabama Department of Archives and History, and I don't want to be messing with libraries. If they would just quit doing this crazy stuff, this leftist woke stuff, we wouldn't have to be involved in it.
Great point. All right, listen, I got about 3 minutes left. You know I love you. I don't know that I've had a disagreement with anything you voted on until recently, and that's going to be the gambling bill. So the Senate brought up the House version, which I thought was probably one of the worst pieces of legislation I'd ever seen. Even if it was not about gambling, just the way it was structured and styled, I thought it was awful. But that being said, the Senate did heavily amend it, substituted it really, has an entirely new version. It passed out of the Senate. You voted for it. But while I wish it hadn't passed, here we go. So what is your expectation now? Where is that going? Is it going to pass the House?
So good question. I appreciate the opportunity to explain myself. I didn't like the House version either, not at all. And so I was concerned that about what was going to happen with that legislation. There is a tremendous tide in this state to give folks the ability to vote on a paper lottery. And so I was worried about what was going to be attached to that, because and you've seen it time over time. My deal I made was I wanted to be in the room drafting what was actually going to come out. And what came out of the Senate was a paper lottery and freezing, essentially, what is going on at casinos that are authorized, paramutual wagering facilities that are authorized under local constitutional amendment or paramutual betting laws. And so we froze that where it was, and then we put a ton of control up the penalties, financial penalties, the class of felonies, put a ton of control to get rid of all this illegal gambling that's going on in the state. And so we've got basically a status quo plus a paper lottery, and that's what came out of the Senate. I just couldn't risk something going that I didn't have a chance to take a machete to the House bill, which is what we did. I mean, we really cut it. It's a third or less of what it was before. And that was just a calculated decision that I made. Now, and my colleagues made as well. Now, your question is, where does it go from here? Yeah. Who knows? A conference committee in the House or the House requesting to go to conference could absolutely kill this bill. And we knew that going in. I think the smart thing for the House to do is to concur. That's the easiest, smartest thing for them to do. They know they've got something as opposed to nothing. Any substantial changes to that piece of legislation will result in its immediate death.
All right. So on a gambling bill, if you had to lay odds, is it going to pass or not?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, we'll see where it goes. Hey, Senator Chris Elliott, thank you for your time today. I appreciate you. And thanks for being willing to defend your own vote on that that gambling bill, too. I appreciate that. All right, man. You have a great day.
Yes, sir. You too. Thanks again.
All right. Take care. All right. Listen, there's the first horse out of the horse's mouth, Dipper. Coming up after the top of the hour, we get back from this break. We'll close out this section a little bit, and then we'll head into the top of the hour, at which point Senator Dick Brubaker is going to call in, who is now the lead Republican congressional candidate for District 2. Y'all stay tuned. Be right back.